What's up, sports fans? Welcome to Sports Odds and Ends, your on the shelf podcast for on the shelf sports.
Yeah,
Come on. That was so good.
What? I was continuing with it. I just caught me off guard for a second. You can do that same one again.
No. I'm keeping it that way.
We'll leave that in. That'll Kaz, I want you to know I liked it. So go ahead.
Thank you, TJO.
Do you want me to work the magic, Kaz? You want me to?
No, I want all of this in because this is how sports feels right now. It is a clusterfuck. Things are all over the place. So it's been interesting living in a world with no sports, where everybody is kind of trying a little bit of everything. And we're going to talk about a lot of that in our roundup. So what do we got first, JBZ?
The Savage Speeders are the inaugural Marbula One world champions.
So we talked about marbles racing, as one of these things that has always existed, but in the world with limited sports, it has gained a life, or a second life, because I do definitely remember this being a big thing some years ago, like we talked about. But yeah,
I'm pissed because I was pulling for the Green Ducks, and you know, they got out to the gate pretty quickly. They won the second race, and then they somehow ran one of their marbles, Billy, like over and over again for the next couple races, and he just didn't do so well. And then finally they put Mallard in for the last race and managed to get second, and then they finished sixth in the overall standings after nine races. It was a tough run, but I think a good finish to the season, and when Marble League starts up again, then they'll have a pretty good shot carrying some momentum into it.
The marbles racing thing is super fun, and it kind of captures the whole thing of like if you the weird kind of if you build it they will come, or like if you make it an event kind of thing, people will definitely watch it. And I think in this realm, people just like watching competition, right? It's kind of always been my thing. People just like seeing things compete. And if you can feed it to them in a formula that they understand, they will watch it. And that's what marbles racing is. But I love the drama that they add to it. Yeah. And like all that is just super fun for me. So it's definitely something we're kind of keeping our eye on, and something that I think is just super duper fun.
Yeah, I think the kind of what is a sport has been kind of a common question on this show. And I think we've kind of generally accepted everything on this show. Which goes all the way from Scrabble to Jeopardy to everything on the Ocho to all that. And by the way, if you're interested in Jeopardy, the college tournament is coming up. So if you want questions you can actually answer, the college tournament is usually full of that. So and basically at this point, like, all events are sports now. Anything that is a competition, like you said, I think this whole situation is causing everybody to reevaluate, like, what do I enjoy watching about sports? It's not, sometimes it's the athleticism, sometimes it's the strategy, but it's at this point, it's like anything that is a competition.
Well, so speaking of competition and speaking of fair game, I'm glad that you said those two things. Something I've been seeing people kind of lose their minds about on Twitter, from the giant conspiracy theories all the way down to just like those guys were good, is a bunch of XFL players have gotten NFL contracts. So for all those people trying to keep up, the National Football League went in and sniped some of the top prospects from Vince McMahon, bringing down his XFL empire yet again. The XFL is dead, I say, dead, as most of Twitter has turned it into.
Really? Because I think, I mean, I've been browsing the XFL subreddit, and I think they've kind of taken the opposite stance to that, as in, like, this is a good thing. Because
okay, you're on the XFL subreddit where it's just, you know what I mean, like,
well, yeah, I mean,
Twitter is the wider realm of just random thought, and I'm just picking the few that have just been like, this is it, it's dead again, the coronavirus killed the XFL.
I definitely wouldn't agree. So just headlining this list of players that are signed, it's 14 in total so far, I think, at least from the list that we're working with.
That's the whole XFL.
It's the top 40 players in the XFL. PJ Walker is headlining that class. He signed with Carolina. So he's going to compete for the backup job behind Teddy Bridgewater. But he's reuniting with his old head coach from Temple, Matt Rhule. So that'll be a good situation for him. So I think overall, this shows that there is room for a league that exists for that players that are kind of on the NFL bubble to showcase their skills, and there's room for football in the NFL offseason, and people will watch, people will turn out, they'll start their own traditions, they'll buy into it, and they'll get attached to these players, and they'll get upset when they leave. But this exists as a feeder league to the NFL, and it did a pretty damn good job of feeding. When 14 players get signed, even before the draft happens, before all that. So I am sure a bunch more people are going to get signed when, you will have the draft, we'll have undrafted free agents from the draft, and then training camp, and yes, around that time, that's when we'll see a lot more XFL alumni get signed.
This is what I think we just do from now on, right? Is you have the NFL draft, right? You do that for your 2 days, and then the next 2 days are the XFL draft.
Yeah, I would like that idea. I don't think the leagues want to work in that close conjunction with each other. But in this case, they kind of did, because I think the XFL, part of the reason why they chose
to terminate. And then right after that, you can have the CBA draft with
CFL draft. Yeah. I think part of why they're working, or like the XFL, I think part of why they cut off when they did was so that they could give their players a chance to get signed by NFL teams during NFL free agency. So I think they definitely recognize their spot as, like, the more we can position ourselves as the most logical path to the NFL for players who have lost their previous NFL chances, then the better the future is, because, you know, those 14 guys go, but they'll get replaced by 14 other guys that are going to be hungry and are hoping to get their shot too. So, if you're expecting them to compete with the NFL, then I think this is a death blow. But if I think you're taking a more realistic view of it, and I think the same view that the XFL people are taking, then I think they've done pretty well here for themselves. They've created a couple household names here, and we'll get to see those guys in the NFL next year.
Yeah. So moving on from there, just kind of a quick blurb. We've had more things canceled. The Olympics has been postponed till next year as of right now, kind of in this unforeseen future as to when we can leave our houses and kind of travel again, since travel has kind of been shut down for a lot of things. And then kind of going from that bullet point into one of the big things, and this has kind of been an interesting thing just kind of in general. So we are kind of in full swing of the LCS, the League of Legends, season, they have transitioned really well into doing their product online with players playing from the player houses or whatever respective kind of things that they've come up with to be able to do to keep competing. But this has, and not to kind of throw away from this thing you've had here, but part of this brings up another thing that has kind of been talked about in the League community a lot more. Because Cloud9 has been on a really dominant run this split and has been having amazing, amazing games. But there have been some other teams that people kind of expected to do really well that haven't. And two things have been coming up a lot in this LCS split in kind of discussions on Twitter and on between the casters and things like that. And it is the online versus on LAN skill set, where for people who play like competitive gaming, or who people who do competitive gaming or do esports, depending on what you want to call it, there's two, even if you play the same game, and right now we're talking about League of Legends, there's almost two versions of the game when you play at that level. There is the game that you play in an online version where you have to deal with connection issues to the server, and then the game you play on stage where everybody is on the same equal playing field as far as their connectivity from the computer they're using to the server that is then feeding back the information to them. And some teams just in general across the board do better with the little bit of input lag and things like that than they do when there's no input lag and you have to kind of do it right then and there. Some people always kind of call it the like stage anxiety kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I think there's definitely pros and cons to the environment, because like you mentioned, the stage anxiety, like, yeah, your timing might be a little bit better on stage, but then you have a whole crowd looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
And it's funny because one of the big things that also gets talked about a lot is, or that has been talked about more in doing a lot more of these events online and things like that, is there's no stops in communication for players, right? So I don't remember how LCS does it, but I know for like Counter-Strike and LCS kind of mirrors it. You have your five players and then you have their coach there. But the coach is not allowed to talk while the game is happening for Counter-Strike, even though he can see all the screens and can probably make the better reads and give more informative information. They have to call timeouts and do things like that. And I think League kind of rolls the same format. They used to have the coaches walk off stage.
They still do.
Stuff like that.
Shake hands and walk off stage.
Yeah. But now people are like, oh, well, now the coaches are just there in the room with these guys and are like, yo, you need to be here. You should be up there. You shouldn't be doing that right now. Like, leave that farm, go help top. Like, and that's probably helping or hurting some teams that perform differently, as far as also having to deal with, now there are guys who are really good on stage that maybe are just a little bit not as good when there's a little bit of what a lot of people like to call input lag, from when your brain decides to do something and pushes a button and then your computer sends that information to the server and then it sends it back so that you visually see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, so it's the just that internet delay. So
yeah. Comcast has an effect on your game. Yeah.
Yeah. and this conversation has been coming up because a couple of the casters said, oh, like this team probably not. And I think they were talking about G2 and they were like, oh, G2 probably would have won that game on stage. They probably would have won that game, you know, like on stage if they didn't have to deal with like internet issues. And they got a lot of blowback from the community being like, yo, sometimes people just fucking lose. Like stop trying to sell us a certain team or do this. Like, and it started that conversation of like input lag and this and that and all these kind of things. I think part of this current world situation has brought that discussion more light than it's ever had before, and it's just been a really weird situation.
I think it brings to the forefront just how razor thin the margins are when it comes to esports. You say a quarterback tries to throw to a wide receiver and then they miss a little bit. Well, the wide receiver can kind of adjust to it, and there's a lot of room for adjustment, a lot of margin for error, and a lot of ways to correct. But like esports, if you're off by like, if you're like a fraction of a second late, then that can make a difference between winning a team fight and getting your entire squad wiped. These things definitely come into play. But I mean, there's also so many other factors too. Like we mentioned, the now you're playing in the comfort of your own home. Now the atmosphere is a little bit different. It's a little bit calmer. If you bring up G2, they fuck around with their lineup like every year. So you could say like maybe if they use their lineup from last year and they had, you know, Perks and Caps playing in the same positions that they were playing in last year, then they would have won that game. Or, you know, you could say, you know, like that, there's just so many different factors that can create, a bunch of different scenarios, a bunch of different what if scenarios. So it kind of is what it is. I do think this Cloud9 run is definitely not something that is coronavirus dependent, considering they were kicking the shit out of people before this all started.
Well, yeah. I think I kind of used them in the scenario that like they were playing really well on stage already. And then I think just the fact that their home environment has just for them become a lot more relaxed. They're putting out more YouTube videos and stuff like that and doing all kind of things. They've been doing this series of YouTube videos of the LCS team versus the Counter-Strike team in like weird kind of warm-up style games that most esports players do, like an aim map or typing competition, like speed typing things and stuff like that. And I think for them being in this more consistently relaxed situation has just helped them perform just that much more better. And like you said, it's a roster that they're already used to each other. They're in a situation where they have to kind of just be around each other a little bit more. So it's probably helping that dynamic more than it is hurting that dynamic, which it probably for other teams is hurting, like Dig. Dig is not doing really well. You know what I mean? Like they're just not doing well. It's just interesting.
Cloud9 has always been, I think the reasons why like you and I both gravitate towards this team a little bit is because they've always had a very relaxed atmosphere and they always kind of approach this like they're trying to have fun. Even though like it is a serious thing, it's serious, it's competitive, but also, you know, try to be a little bit loose with it, try to take it not so seriously that it wrecks the team environment. And I think Sneaky was a big part of that, even though he's not on the team this year. They managed to swap out three people in their lineup and bring in a couple guys that were, I don't want to say washed up, but you know, didn't do so well their first time around on their first couple teams, and now they're kicking the shit out of everybody after losing their MVP jungler and a couple other key pieces, and somehow, you know, they're doing phenomenally. A team like Team Liquid, which is generally a bit more serious, ended up failing to make the playoffs after winning the last four splits. So, so this is, you know, it's kind of unprecedented. We're going to have a new champion this year. It's probably going to be this Cloud9 team because nobody can get past 30 minutes with this team. And they've only given up one loss all year. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
At least we have this to watch.
Kind of still speaking of league. So one of the big things to talk about, you know, how much we love to talk about money here. The LCK, the Korean league, is going to be doing franchising in the next coming year.
Yeah, a little bit later than Europe, North America, and China, which are kind of the other three big regions.
Yeah. Well, I also think it's just kind of a different situation,
guys,
especially.
Guys,
yeah.
Question for you on this when you say franchising. Is this the same idea as a league commissioning teams with franchises? Like, or are we talking more like the business franchise model? So when you explain franchising.
Basically, in the North American sports versus European sports models, where in European sports, if you finish in the bottom of the league, you get relegated, and if you finish at the top of the lower league, you get promoted. What several of the other League of Legends regions have figured out is that they have a lot of trouble getting sponsorships because sponsors don't know whether teams are going to even be existing at the top level long term. You could sponsor a team and then they get relegated the next year, and then your sponsorship is kind of
null and void.
Nobody cares about this. Yeah. This team that you've paid a bunch of money to advertise on. So now each league designates spots for 10 teams, and then those teams are kind of expected to be there long term. They're going to be there year after year. They're not going to get kicked out because they suck. They're effectively like the Detroit Lions and the Sacramento Kings. Like, if you suck for a long period of time, you still get to be.
So what you're saying is that they are going with the NFL model.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's the American sports model. And those are the reasons why they're doing it. So it's interesting that Korea, who I think of as like the, in a way, kind of the heartbeat of, maybe that's the wrong way to think about it, but, a place where esports is very well respected and mm-hmm. And usually churns out some of the best teams. It's kind of weird to see them last on this bandwagon of teams capitalizing on this franchising model.
You also have to realize, so for Korea, they've been doing it the way they've been doing it probably longer than anyone. They're usually the first to have teams play a game. They're usually the first to put up some type of a league for teams to be able to play in and stuff like that. And I think for them, they've had their model styled for so long that I think it's more understandable that they were the ones who were slower to adapt. Whereas every other region is still relatively new to this. Like, yeah, America had its way of doing things, but obviously as soon as an opportunity for more, you know, more money, more views and all those kind of things came along, they instantly found a way to make it work, because that's what they do. So then when it came down to figuring out that, I think when it comes down to figuring that out in Korea, it's just more of a slow adaptation from what you have always done and what they will probably still continue to do for new games that are going to be coming up in the next year or two that are going to be big, that are slated to be big esports games.
Yeah, it's yeah, definitely something to wait and see and watch, and we'll see how well they embrace it. But I'm sure it'll probably be pretty well, since these are some of the top teams in the world, and there will be ripe for tons of sponsorship. Then again, like, some of the teams are already sponsored by big names and telecom companies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So they have plenty of money coming in. Now they get a chance for more, and with the heavy hitter teams.
And you also got to remember, right, for Korea, they are named generally by their sponsor first and then the team, whereas like here in America, the team generally tends to come first. In Korea, the sponsor always kind of is the first thing set in stone for a lot of teams.
It's kind of like looking at a little league baseball league, and like all the local businesses are the are the team names. And
okay, guys, question for you on this one: are there any examples of, for the sake of an argument, an independent team that comes in unsponsored in these cases, or are they all sponsored by some company in some form?
In Korea, or just in general?
In Korea and in general.
So the kind of the matriarchs of League of Legends are TSM and Cloud9, and I guess Team Liquid to a certain extent. Team Liquid started as a esports news site, and then some of them got into playing, and then they built this thing off of being the hybrid of really good esports players, and then also where you kind of went to for esports news, like in the early iteration where like fighting games were still happening in hotel ballrooms, and League of Legends was just happening wherever they could find the space. In Korea, there are a few teams. I can't remember the names off the top of my head that existed first, and especially if you came in the era of probably early StarCraft, like StarCraft 1, there were teams that were teams first, and then their team kind of became legend. And when, as you do that, you kind of,
but
your
it's not,
name is more notable than the sponsor.
It's not common now, was what you're saying.
That right.
No.
A team can just form and then make their way into high-level competition. It's always a company and a corporate sponsor.
Yeah, because usually what happens is, even when those teams form, and it's happening a lot here in America because people are putting together smaller and smaller tournaments, especially a lot of online tournaments and things like that. And the online space has kind of opened up a lot more for people to play tournaments with their friends. Even League in its own client now supports doing a tournament style thing with your five friends. But usually what happens is somebody is generally a standout, or some people are generally a standout. And then you kind of take that in the like almost college level esque style thing, where then they kind of get picked out by the big name teams. It used to be, like what happened was TSM was one of those teams. They were five friends who came up together, played through some tournaments, got invited to play in like League's official kind of first few tournaments, and then went on to be one of the big branded name teams of itself for what it did in those early days. Maybe in Dota that still kind of happens, especially in the European scene. But it's really rare now. It's just really, really rare.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of just a sign that the sport has evolved, so that there's enough money floating around that the little people can't just come in. And like if you're gonna come in as a new team, you're gonna need a lot of backing from a rich person. to make headway. So I think that in a way that kind of sucks, but in a way that also is a sign of how much money is floating around. So that can be a good thing too. All right. So that's kind of the roundup news. The rest of this is kind of just talking about how everyone is trying to cope with with how things have gone the last couple weeks. We've reached the point where sports media in general is pretty much just bored as shit. There's like all the talking head shows that we normally see throughout the day, instead of being like 30-minute shows, it's just, you know, four or five minute Skype calls. And they'll talk about like one or two stories and you know, and then something silly. Joe Buck, the announcer, and a couple other announcers too, they've taken to send me your random videos on Twitter. And we'll commentate those. Those of us here on Sports Odds and Ends, you can still send us our stories, and we'll still collect a bunch because we'll talk about anything here. But some of those networks like ESPN, there, as we'll discuss coming up, like they're not so great about pulling content from the smaller areas of the internet. SB Nation is, like, they're really struggling. They had like a couple things in the pipeline, a couple John Voice videos, but other than that, like, they've taken to articles. They're writing articles about old sports movies and and reminiscing about stuff. Like, that's the best they can do right now. And ESPN is kind of the same way. They're trying to lean on nostalgia right now. They're going to push up this 10-part documentary that they had scheduled for, I think, later in the summer. But they've now that they have nothing else to show, they're going to try to move it up. So starting April 19th, they're going to do two episodes every Sunday from this 10-part documentary about the Bulls, about the Jordan Bulls' final season. So that'll be kind of interesting. I think a lot of people were excited about that before coronavirus, but now with it, it's everybody's starved for content. the other thing they're doing, which, okay, fine, is ESPN Esports Day, which is, I guess, they're going to do a 12-hour marathon of random esports, or not random, but like select esports
things that they could, not the big ones, because those are either locked into YouTube or Twitch. It's the ones they could get their hands on. So they're gonna have a 3 hours of Madden. I don't know why that's such a weird time cap for that, but 3 hours of Madden 20, F1 Grand Prix tournament, or Rocket League season 8,
a world championship of that from way back. They're doing an NBA 2K tournament, which we'll talk a little bit about later. And then actually, there's not much to talk about that. They just got 16 players to play NBA 2K, and that's pretty much it. Replay of an Apex Legends tournament. It's also this I guess the story's a little bit outdated because it already happened a couple of days ago. But since, like, we didn't hear a whole lot of fanfare about it, it's kind of like, I guess this is all, out of all the esports content out there, this is all they managed to cobble up, because they've been so far behind the curve when it comes to esports that this is really the best they can do.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm gonna talk about some of them. Well, one of them, but there are some new things coming down the pipeline. Somebody at ESPN be able to start getting on that phone. Hello, fucking Joe Game Guy. I want to buy your content. Get on the phone.
And I think they're still, since they haven't done a great job of promoting esports people, esports personalities, now they have to rely on the, hey, let's look at this famous person that plays the physical version of this sport and have them play the digital version of this sport. And, wouldn't that be fun to watch them do that? Because you have nothing else to do right now. It's not even like they could promote the NBA 2K league, which is something that the NBA has been trying to push. They've got to have, you know, actual NBA players playing 2K rather than 2K league, which, yeah, I don't know, then you get guys that are not that good at this game, but, you know, maybe these are the personalities that people want to watch. But then again, maybe
so that's the problem with trying to supplement the thing you want with the thing you have. Right. So you go, OK, well, we can get the NBA players to play NBA 2K, but you're missing the esports factor in it of having people who are good at the game and then can showcase like things at the game that you can't do at home yourself, or things about the game that are just kind of nuancey and things you only learn when you spend 1,000 hours playing NBA 2K. You know what I mean? Because no basketball player has that amount of time to do that. You know what I mean? Like, Gordon Hayward spends a lot of his time, who is a very well-known gamer, when he does game and when he does stream games, playing League of Legends, and then is constantly in his chat. People are like, yo, do you play 2K? Like, do you play 2K? And he's like, no, not really. Like, it's like, I do from time to time, but that's not my game of choice. So it's like,
you don't want to be playing the digital version of your job when you go home. So,
but I mean, if it's your game of choice, that's one thing, you know what I mean? But if you kind of like to live in this weird fantasy realm of like, oh, you know, like, but if it's not your game of choice, then it's just weird. Or if you're just not into games, then it comes across as awkward.
It feels like the discount version. And
yeah.
And like, I get it. Everybody's willing to accept the discount version while the quote unquote real version doesn't exist. But it can be presented as better than it actually is coming across right now. Because once all this is over, I think, I mean, we'll get a couple of new esports viewers that are like, hey, yeah, this is actually pretty fun to watch. But once they get the quote unquote real version of their sport back, then I think they'll kind of just forget that we ever did this. It'll just be kind of a novelty period of time where everybody resorted to watching people play 2K instead of watching people play basketball, when there are people that are really good at playing 2K that deserve to be showcased as expert 2K players and not just discount NBA players.
Yeah. So going on from there, talking about when we get things back and how different the world will be. When we get the NFL back, it'll be a 17-game a season NFL. And with that comes new broadcast deals for the people that you are used to seeing your broadcasting of NFL games come from. NBC and CBS have gotten some extra content coming out of this, but oddly enough, so did Nickelodeon.
Yeah. So this deal actually isn't for the extra 17th game in the season, because I don't think they're going to do that until next year. But this is what they are going to do is they're going to do the 17 playoff or 7 teams per conference playoffs. So they are going to expand the playoffs, which means extra playoff games, 2 extra wild card games. And that's a ton of broadcast money to bring in. And yeah, NBC and CBS won the bidding wars for those games. NBC is going to stream their game, or they're going to show their game on NBC and then I guess simulcast the game on the Peacock streaming platform, which I think they're going to launch pretty soon. CBS, which I guess is part of Viacom, they're going to stream, or they're going to show it on CBS. They're going to stream on CBS All Access. And they've also decided to broadcast a kind of kid-friendly version of the game on Nickelodeon. And I think, I mean, it feels weird, definitely. This is definitely something new, something that that gentlemen, a lot of... what's up?
Theater of the mind. Picture your typical diehard football fan who loves his team and it's there every game day and just emotionally invested and it's just like, rah, let's go. And now with this upcoming deal with Nickelodeon, what if they happen to think, well, maybe I'll just watch this with my kid. It's on Nickelodeon. It'll be kid friendly. How long do you think it would be before this football fan who gets a little wild on game day is watching this Nickelodeon football coverage with their kid and just being a damn fool with their kid over football?
I mean, that already happens in the first place. It's just, this is just going to give some parent a reason to tell their spouse, like, oh, this is now we can let the kid watch football because it's for the kid.
I find it weird that we've started talking about football like it's, you know, a rated R movie.
No, I meant the fan. Like, the fan is the guy that acts like a jerk ass down in his man cave, but then he has to go watch football with his kid.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. They could still watch separately. There's nothing requiring them to. There's nothing requiring those two worlds to mix. You know, I mean, CBS is still going to show the game. It's not like it's going to be only Nickelodeon broadcast. So the people who want to watch this game where they normally watch it, they'll still be able to. I think this is just if you're watching Nickelodeon on a Saturday or Sunday, whenever they choose to air this game, and in the middle of the day and this comes on, then maybe you'll give it a shot and maybe you become a fan for life. It's, you know, maybe if, I know there's all these jokes about like, oh, what if they slime players on the sidelines or something, or Bill Belichick gets slimed every time his team scores a touchdown, that would look weird for the CBS audience. Even though it would look normal for the Nickelodeon audience. Actually, I don't even know if they do. Do they still slime people, right? Is that...
Brother, you are asking the wrong set of people here.
It still happens like at the Kids' Choice Awards and all of those things.
Okay. But I can't remember what their game show lineup is like and whether they're still relying on that.
Probably. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Anything.
Yeah. By the way, Legend of the Hidden Temple is a pretty good sport. So if you want to watch clips of that on YouTube.
Essentially, I think they brought that show back, but you just do it with your family rather than a bunch of other kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they used to pair random kids for that. So that Double Dare, all that, if you're looking for athletic stuff. Double Dare, they did the family stuff, also a sport. Nickelodeon Guts, the most sport-like, the most traditional sport-like sport of all sports. So, I mean, Nickelodeon does have a history of broadcasting sports. So, I think, maybe they don't have, that was a long time ago, back when we were kids. But, I don't think the transition will be that hard for them. And hopefully... I think the last time I could remember anybody trying something like this was when Dota actually tried to do two simultaneous streams. One was like a newbie friendly stream and the other one was for, you know, people that have been watching for a long time. And I don't remember how well that worked out, and I don't know if they're still doing it. So I guess that's probably a sign of how well it worked out. I think if anybody could pull it off, maybe the NFL could. It's kind of a difficult sport to do it with because football by itself is a really complicated game with a lot of rules. And uh, if if God forbid they end up in a catch rule situation and somebody on the Nickelodeon feed has to explain to a fucking child why this catch was not a catch, they might end up losing a couple fans, but overall, I think this is a good opportunity.
I don't even think they begin to try to explain it. Like, it just is like.
I'm picturing Nickelodeon bringing in like kid announcers for this, and then something like that happens, and then they're trying to figure out, like, the kids are trying to figure out how to explain what happened and whether a catch is or isn't.
I don't know. It looked like he caught it. Yeah, I don't know.
Look, I think we give the kids a rough name. Kids are pretty perceptive. They can pick up on a lot of things. And kids have found their way into sports fandom on their own for a long time without needing this kind of guidance. Not to say that this wouldn't help, but and also I do
find it a little weird and a little handholdy, but I'm not going to get into that.
I will say there are a lot of adult sports fans, football fans especially, that could probably use a broadcast like this talking down to them, because not all of them are all that bright either. So I don't want to harp on this as like, you know, the kids are dumb. We gotta talk down to the kids. I hope it's not presented like that.
It's never. It's never that. It's never the kids. It's people think kids are dumb, and people think kids need to be protected, and people think if we teach kids how to be better sports fans, then when they grow up, they'll be better sports fans, rather than let's just demonize bad sports fans. You know what I mean? From the gate, like, maybe if we didn't just let people get away with that shit, they wouldn't do it. No, it always rolls back around to, if they were taught as a child, no, you can teach them as an adult too.
I think as long as they approach this as new fans and not kid fans, then I think it'll be okay. But I mean, so much of this stuff is up in the air. They just announced it. I think we're all intrigued at how this is going to be presented. I think when this game gets broadcasted, I'm probably tuning into that feed just to see what happens, and we'll discuss it here when that happens.
All right. So going on from there, in news of what other people are trying to do to keep their sport alive, the NBA is going to be doing trying to do a horse tournament. And as far as I know from, and I didn't read the story in here. I've been reading a lot of Twitter. I've been on sports Twitter a lot, because it's really fun when there's no sports for sports Twitter to talk about. They fucking go into the details of everything. So allegedly what they're looking to do is to broadcast a horse tournament where players would play from local gyms near them. If you have a gym in your house. Speaking of, because I've been watching Gordon Hayward stream, he doesn't have a gym in his house, and he hasn't shot a basketball in about 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So there's that. It would be, everybody would be broadcasting. They would shoot. Then you would have to have the feeds relate to each other as also relate to broadcast. So people could see the shot, and I'm just so scared of how many players are just going to try to use their phone. And then you'll have the one or two players like fucking Gordon Hayward or the few that have YouTube channels, and will have like their homie actually there, like recording them on a good camera. So we don't know what we'll get, but yeah, you'll take your shot, you'll see a shot, then you have to make the shot and go on and so forth from there.
Yeah, it just the timing of this sounds like, or the timing logistics of how they're going to pull this off. Just I'm a little bit skeptical because this would be one thing where if like somebody did their shot and then they posted it on Twitter and then you know, and then everybody else has to respond, then maybe like the timing of that might work out a little bit better. Yeah, but then people can cheat with that and.
This would like I understand that part of it, but this would be so much more hotter if it was a like a Twitter like highlight video, like so. There's been
like a dunk contest,
yeah, like a dunk contest kind of video thing, or just even the shot contest kind of thing, There's been those videos going around of like people doing the makeup thing where they pass the brush. Like if you did it where like you see somebody make a shot and then somebody else like just good, pure editing and good, pure fun with basketball would be great. But what we're probably going to get is garbage.
Yeah. I mean, so they've tried to do a horse competition at the All-Star game every year. And then that never really has gained a whole lot of traction because I guess like trick shots are not that interesting to people. Like basketball is one of those things where it's like the most interesting part of basketball is like the basketball and the actual interaction of players on the court with each other. And then like you try to water that down in any way you extract it, even though it is just such a superstar driven game. You still want those superstars surrounded by teammates. Like once it turns into a one-on-one competition or a more stripped down version of the game, people start dropping off. And, there's not going to be that much drama behind this horse tournament. It's just not going to be that interesting. It's going to be I don't know how much time they're going to set aside for this, but if it's going to be like a 3-hour thing, and then you know a bunch of players just sitting at their computer watching their Zoom clients showing somebody doing a shot, and then okay, everybody has to take turns doing their next shots, and then it's just going to be, I mean, it'll be a nice feat of coordination, but I think that's pretty much it. And still probably more interesting than this 2K tournament, but it's and at least they're trying something.
All right, so yeah, like you said, they're also doing a 2K tournament. We kind of went into more depth than that than we meant to.
I guess the most interesting part of that is to us is not that interesting because we like watch Twitch all the time, and then a lot of players have Twitch channels and they'll just talk about stuff on their Twitch channels. But I think having this tournament has given some players that don't normally do that a chance to get on camera and then just talk a little bit and talk about how they've been doing the last couple weeks, and found out that DeMarcus Cousins' recovery is on track because he's talking about it while he's doing this stream. So it's par for the course for us when we're used to this is how Twitch streaming works. But it is weird seeing kind of the rest of the world adopt this. It's weird seeing like all these celebrities and sports personalities just like all of a sudden I've got my own Twitch channel now, and the day one of their stream they got all their alerts and all that other shit set up, and meanwhile I've been streaming for like 5 years and I still haven't figured all that shit out. It's interesting to watch the world change, and that's just one of the ways it's done. But I guess one of these pro-am style tournaments is the NASCAR iRacing, which has been pretty popular. I think they're getting viewers that are close to like a million views now. It's been pretty popular.
I saw the like kind of first one they did, because there was a really good highlight video that I think you shared with everybody, or somebody shared with everybody, and I was like, yo, that is I think that is the version of what the NBA is expecting to have.
Because racers are very competitive, and I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're playing fucking Mario Kart or whatever. Like, if you're racing with somebody, you want to push forward and you want to finish as well as you can. And it's whether you're playing with friends, you're playing with family, it's competitive. So, there's a bit of an adjustment period for some of these drivers getting used to playing virtually rather than playing actually racing a car. But some of these guys have like really nice racing setups. Some of these guys were gamers to begin with. And so, so they had all that stuff set up already. But in this case, Bubba Wallace did not, handle it quite so well. I think he wrecked for like the third time, in a single race, and then he rage quit, which at least he was taking it seriously. But then he did the thing that a lot of people who rage quit do, and came back and criticized everybody who criticized him for rage quitting for taking it seriously, and acted like, oh, this is just a stupid video game. But he was also sponsored for this. So Blue Emu, the company that makes pain relievers, was sponsoring him for this. They were not very happy about the fact that he just walked out and then just rage quit an event that they were paying him to advertise. So they terminated his sponsorship. It's almost like real NASCAR, with people getting competitive, people getting mad at crashing with each other. Had they been in the same room, hands would have been thrown. But in this case,
because even in that first one, even in that first one that you showed, like people were pretty upset at when people were running into them, like almost to the same extent they would be if it was a real race. So it was really interesting.
Yeah, and it's like that. Like, there's probably not a lot of prize money being thrown around. If there is any, it's probably going to charity or something. And so it's not like they stand to lose the amount of money they stand to lose if this was a NASCAR race and they crashed and it's not like it's not life threatening when they crash. It's interesting to see who like the really, really competitive people are, that the ones that are going to get really upset about not doing so well. But to me, that also, this is the sports landscape now. This is if we can't get upset about each other about physical cars going around a track, we're going to get upset about each other at each other about virtual cars going around a track. So just like I'm getting upset about fucking marbles going around a gravity track. So it's, that's life as a sports fan. We're taking things as they come. I've been doing a lot of work, taking naps, playing Motorsport Manager. I've been watching Iron Chef. Iron Chef is a sport. We're deciding that here.
I also like that you specifically
Iron Chef has been a sport.
Iron Chef Japan.
Yeah. No, Iron Chef Japan. There's somebody set up a 24-hour stream.
Garbage.
I liked Iron Chef America.
I don't want to game. I just really enjoy the Japanese version. The way it's presented. There's just something special about it.
I discovered that in high school, and it changed my life. It was the first sport I truly loved.
There you go. So DGM, you started a new podcast.
I did, because that's what I do. I make podcasts, and I started a new one. I am still working from home pretty consistently. And since it's starting to get a little warmer here, it's starting to get a little nicer, I've been riding my bike, just trying to not become a complete sloth. I found a bike path in my city, and it's back and forth. It ended up being about 7 miles. So I did that on Friday. I'm going to do that tomorrow, and I'm just going to try and keep at it and not become a total slug.
Yeah, I don't think I've left, like, I don't think I've gone outdoors in, like, a week. So it's, I need to do that.
Yeah.
At least to take the garbage out or something.
I mean, I at least take my garbage
out. The sun is coming back, guys.
I've been trying to mow my lawn for, like, 2 days, but I have, like, one of those battery-powered ones. And I don't know if it's just because my lawn is so lumpy, but the battery dies after, like, 10 minutes. So I got to buy a new battery, but also that's probably going to take forever to get here because of how slow delivery times are. So we'll see. We'll see if I ever get to finish my lawn. We'll see what comes first, a cure for Corona or me finishing my lawn. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of games, watching the esports happening. I've been playing a game called Mountain Blade. It's been pretty fun. It's very similar to, like, I always forget the games I've been comparing it to, but kind of like Kingdom Come.
Like the Total War games, like kind
that,
of
that, right? Or Total War, bigger scale sandbox Age of Empires style game, super fun. A lot of League, a lot of Counter Strike, and I've been keeping my ear to the ground on Valorant, which is Riot's FPS, Counter Strike, Overwatch, Rainbow Six-esque style game that they're putting out. They're going to be doing their first big non-content streamer public beta test coming up on Tuesday. And a lot of people are already, even before the game is, like, kind of fully been in people's hands, a lot of people are already calling this, like, the next big esport to come along, because when it's coming from Riot, and Riot doesn't do things that aren't esports, even though technically they only really have one other game out, if you don't count their
auto fight tactics. Yeah.
and the other versions of League of Legends that they put out. Well, I guess you can also count the card game, but that's also just living off of League of Legends. They just have, at this point, decided to stop copying Blizzard and have started to copy Steam. And then we'll see where they go from there. Oh, wait, no, they were already copying Steam because League is just a Dota.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just kind of go in cycles.
They gotta weaponize their user base, basically. When Teamfight Tactics came out, I didn't enjoy it as much, but it seems like more people are playing that than Dota Underlords or Auto Chess, and I think that's just because they're, you know, it's there in the League client. So, if they can use that to their advantage and diversify beyond League of Legends. Once people eventually, if they ever get sick of the MOBA genre, they got something else to make them money instead of just League. We'll wait and see, just like everything else. The entire sports world is still on wait and see. If you want to wait and see with Kaz, you can watch him streaming on twitch.tv/KingKaz. You can find him on Twitter. Maybe. But
I finally got my thermal paste, and we'll see if that helps my heating issue for when I stream. I ordered that shit a month ago and it finally got here. Hopefully I don't have to order anything else, but once again, we'll see.
Yeah. I'm at JVZ. DJM is at Call Me DJM. Our shows will probably be pretty sparse. But we'll keep you guys updated as new things come in, whether they're big or small, or or completely out of the blue.
The so. Genre of sports is pretty fluid now. It's a pretty fluid spectrum at this point. So we're gonna do our best to bring any kind of talk about sports in that genre as we can.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. SportsOddsAndEnds.com for links to the show notes, and we'll see you guys next time.